Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Quick little add to that update before we get to Sal. Adam Schefter says strong possibility Christian McCaffrey misses week two.
Okay. Hope you have Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason season, I guess.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline after, the first Buffalo Bills football Monday of the year. Sal is where's this one slot in? Pedestrian wins. Bills fans are used to wins, right? Like, they win a lot of games these days. And starting the season with a win is not a surprise. It was a little bit shaky at times, but I don't know. Your recap of your extra point show yesterday. What was the vibe? What was the mood?
Oh, recap of the recap show, right? I remember they did lose two out of the previous three openers, right? Lost in 21 to the Steelers, and then lost in 23 to the Jets. Beat the Rams, obviously, Thursday night in between. So it was nice, you know, from that standpoint to open up with a victory Monday. Fans, I think yesterday, I'm trying to gauge the temperature, that there's still concerns, but, you know, hey, you work things out week one. I still think, you know, here's, I think, what came out of yesterday for me was wherever you fall on Sean McDermott and coaching, it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter what happens. You're going to fall there. And, like, we had a couple calls yesterday that said, well, yeah, I appreciate the adjustments, but still not good enough. Sorry, got to go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, things like that. And I don't want to make this whole thing about that, but I think that was also a tone of it, which was, yeah, it was great. It's great to get a win. A win's a win. Still some concerns, you know, but, you know, that was nice to see the comeback. But if you don't like the coach, you're not going to like the coach no matter what they did yesterday or Sunday. It didn't matter.
Yeah. All right. Well, confirming your priors is what people like to refer to that as. Like, you know what? Whatever you felt going in, you're confirming your priors. All right, so let's talk about Josh Allen. I mean, I put up a Twitter poll today about him and whether or not the Bills might get spooked by a week one hand injury, jumping over players. You know, I know that they want him to be himself and be an MVP candidate and be what he is. Like, he's an amazing player. There's no doubt about that. But, of course, he's their most important asset. And I'm sure they'd like him to protect himself whenever he can. What do you make of this happening this early in the season? The nature of the injury, how he's going to be dealing with it, playing through it. It's the non-throwing hand. How much could it be a factor, and how much do you think it might have, if at all, spooked Sean McDermott or the Bills?
I don't know about spook them. I think that they understand that, you know, this is part of the game, and this is the type of player that these things are going to happen, unfortunately. You know, the way he landed it on his hand, a little bit of a, you know, kind of a freak play there, but that's what happens when you have Josh Allen in running. Could it possibly impact the game plan on Thursday? Absolutely, right? I mean, like, you think about what you want him to do or not do, but let's remember, guys, after that happened to him on Sunday, nothing changed. He still ran with the ball. Like, he slid. I think the one play where they wanted the extra hit maybe was even a slide. Mm-hmm. You know, he still ran. He still took shotgun snaps. He still took center snaps. He threw the ball. He handed off the ball. I don't think anything changed after he got hurt. Now, there's also adrenaline pumping. After the game, he had to get the x-rays. We know that. Everything's cleared. That's fine. I don't know about spook, though. I mean, this is what happens when you have Josh Allen. And, you know, are they going to just suddenly, you know, have just a different type of quarterback? I don't think so. And they're going to let Josh Allen try to be Josh Allen. But with that's going to come him making decisions that you're always going to hold your breath on. That's just the way it's going to be. We all know that. Josh can say as much as he can. You said it yesterday, Jeremy. Josh can sit there up there all he wants and say, I got to be smarter and I can't play like that all the time. And he's still going to do it, right? I mean, that's just what's going to happen no matter what. Now, I would say for me, and I'm sure the coaches, the concern would be, The taking the snap, making sure you're buttoned up there, like taking the snap under center and taking a shotgun snap, the ball hitting you in the hand. For me also, if you're under center and you turn to hand it to your right, so you have to hand it with your left hand. That would be a concern for me. It's not, because it's not a throwing hand, but you still have to use that hand for functions of on the play. So if the running back's going to Josh's right off tackle, let's say, he has to turn with his left and stick it in the belly with his left hand. Like, that to me is, okay, can you do that effectively? Those are things they have to work out this week.
So let's call this the injury report and get the rest of it. We've got Josh, the update on Josh there, and the Barnes Firm injury report. It's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taron Johnson, the bigger story here, a very important player and an injury that will force him to miss some time.
Very important. I think he's played really well against the Dolphins specifically, too, because of a lot of things they do. The way that they run a lot of their motion, and he can really move around in the slot and kind of follow that and understand positioning. He's so smart, his football IQ. Plus, the way the Bills have attacked the Dolphins has been sometimes a lot of blitzes with guys like Taron Johnson off the edge, corners, slot corners. They really try to get you out of your first read, and they try to attack, you know, right away early in the snap count in the down. So I wonder if there's an adjustment there. That's something they've done. Now, I don't know, you know, how long he's going to be out. Sean McDermott didn't have that particular information. But this is a massive loss for the Bills on the defense. And this is an all-pro player. And he's very hard to replace. That being said, the Bills have one of the better replacements in the league, which is Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis, I've said many years, he could start for a lot of teams in this league at nickel cornerback. And for him to be able to step right in the way he did against Arizona, and now at least have a full body of, you know, practices coming up here, understanding what his role is going to be, where he didn't really, that wasn't going to be his role. Even though he is the normal nickel anyway, the backup nickel, that really wasn't what he was slated for on Sunday. Now he knows this is what his job is going to be. He's going to be the starting nickel cornerback, presumably, and he'll be able to have a full few days. So to me, more than anything, it's not just, yeah, not more than anything, but yes, Taron Johnson's loss is massive. It also, I think, is a ripple effect, though. What happens at the dime safety? Do we see Cole Bishop dress and play that role? I don't think it's ideal for Jamarcus Ingram to keep playing there. I don't know if the Bills want to do that. He was forced to do it, into that role, because they didn't have another safety really dressed for the game because Cole Bishop was down. Mike Edwards was out, that he could have done that, but that's not really his game. So I wonder how the ripple effect is on what you want to do in those sub packages, even, you know, now going beyond Taron Johnson being out.
And relating to the opponent coming up, Sal, like, I remember last year, so much of why the Bills did so well against the Dolphins earlier in the year and how they've done well against Tyreek Hill in the regular season in the past with that speed is their communication being on point, and they're always rotating the right way and the pre-snap adjustments. And of course, there's so many new pieces already from last year to this year, and now Taron Johnson added to that list as well. But, you know, with saying that, you know, Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, Damar Hamlin playing back there, it's not like all these guys are brand new to the team, but what about that element with this opponent? Because it feels like communication is, like, very important against Miami.
It is, Joe. And look, I mean, you're right. You know, one thing you take solace in, you have Cam Lewis 6 years in into the system. Jamarcus Ingram 3 years actually into this system. He's actually been here for 3 years now. This is his third year.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the other guy you brought up there?
Hamlin.
Right? Damar Hamlin. Four years in this system, right? Now you do have Cole Bishop, who's newer. You do have Mike Edwards, who's newer, if they're going to be on the field. One actual advantage here is, believe it or not, playing on the road. It's going to be quieter when the Dolphins have the ball, right? So it's easier to communicate a little bit. When you're at home, you know, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde would tell you all the time, we want our crowd as loud as possible, but it's certainly challenging on them to have nonverbal communication then, where they can't talk to each other. But you don't want to take away from the crowd. But when you're on the road, you can at least communicate a little bit better in those situations. Yes. And I'll say this. The Dolphins, we know that they have this dynamic offense. I think that, you know, early in the season, too, now they weren't, like, incredible on offense on Sunday against the Jags, but they're going to have wrinkles. There are newer things. There are things that they've been working on, I'm sure, in this offseason that they're going to try to take the Bills by surprise. On their side of things, their top two running backs missed practice yesterday, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert. Now, both teams had a walkthrough. It's an estimation. I don't know. I mean, you get to today, and we could find out, yeah, they're fine. They were just, you know, taking a day to kind of heal up a little bit. And that's probably what I expect. But they're going to be a bit banged up too, so you wonder how that affects their game plan.
Speaking of game plan, Sal, like of all those wrinkles, if you are the Dolphins and you have some wrinkles, this might be a good week to use a big one, right? I mean, this game is important for them after the way that the season ended last year. They're trying to win their division. They're trying to beat playoff teams, something they have not yet done with Mike McDaniel as the coach. Maybe Jacksonville ends up as one, and they did beat Jacksonville. On game plan stuff, we got a couple calls to catch up on. We'll just bring them in with Sal. Tone in Hamilton, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning. North of the border call. Just wanted to talk about how the weather plays an impact on the run versus pass game. You know, we always rely on Josh Allen to do everything. Now that Brady's, you know, the OC, allowing the run to be more heavy, and since our stadium's such a weather contingent stadium week to week, you know, I like being a little more run heavy. But thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tone. Sal, my evaluation of the opener was windy enough to affect kickers, not windy enough to affect the passing game very much.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we determine anything about what Joe Brady's offense is, run heavy, pass heavy after one game and a wind like that and being down 17-3? I don't know if we can. I think they kind of had to adjust the game plan a little bit, I'm sure. There were a lot of passes called that Josh Allen ran. You know, he had 23 pass attempts. He probably should have had closer to 30, to be quite honest with you, right? Because these weren't like designed runs. They were scrambles. He ran. You know, so I don't know. I don't want to lean into Joe Brady's run heavy. I wouldn't take away that from week number one. You know, the other thing I want to push back. I said this on my show yesterday, guys. Like, I want to push back against this notion that the Bills are relying on Josh Allen to be Superman. I don't think they were relying on it. I just think he did it. You know, like, they moved the ball. They moved the ball independent of him running the ball into the end zone a couple times. They were efficient on offense. The first drive, they moved right down the field, then they fumbled. Second drive, they moved right down the field. They scored a touchdown and had it called back. Like, I mean, they were very good on offense. The Cardinals could not stop them. I do not think it was, oh, my God, we can't do anything. Let's have Josh Allen put on the cape. I just think that's what Josh Allen does. He sees something, he takes it, and he's a great player. So I don't think this is some offense where I'm not coming out of Sunday thinking to myself, oh, my God, they're so screwed, and they just have to have this guy put on the cape. I don't think that at all.
I might think that. Well, one thing that we don't always know, Sal, like you said, when he drops back and scrambles because he sees something, there are going to be scrambles where no one's open, so he runs. And then there's going to be scrambles where somebody might be open, but he thinks he's got an opportunity to make something happen on his own. So, like,
hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's a small difference, maybe, and it's one of the reasons I think it's always hard to evaluate Joe Brady off of freakishly good Josh Allen plays. Because at some point, you know, you call a play, what got run? Well, what got run was Josh Allen on 2nd and 6 jumped over Buda Baker instead of whatever the play design was. You know, at the end of the day, that's a touchdown. So, hooray, good stuff. On Brady and the run game, they did run 16 out of 21 plays on first down. If you remove the drive at the end of the first half, which is a 2-minute drive. Like, I do think there is evidence this team, and this goes to the playoff game last year as well, and maybe this is their way to try and protect Josh Allen from jumping over linebackers by handing the ball up. But I do think we have started to build evidence that this is going to be a run-heavier version of the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, I agree that they'll lean a little more into the run. I also think it's circumstantial. Look around the league, Jeremy, right? This is what's happening. Like, teams are just not allowing teams to throw. Look at the quarterback numbers in this league. How many quarterbacks threw for 300 yards? Right? I don't think this has to be just because Joe Brady just wants to be a ground and pound. Not that you're saying that necessarily, but I just think that this is what's happening in the league. Teams are not allowing you. The way to move the ball might have to be to run, and you're running on first down because it was pretty much working, right? I mean, they were running the ball well. They were getting yards in chunks, 4 or 5 yards at a time. Now, I know at the end of the day, James Cook actually only averaged 3.7 yards a carry, which I was actually really surprised about because early in the game,
and I think
he was running it pretty well.
And that might be because they were running it so much in the second half. Arizona started to key in on it.
Here you go. First half. James Cook, 6.1 yards a carry. Why wouldn't you run it in first down? Right. I mean, like,
and then second half.
Right, in second half they started to button up a little bit, and I don't know it. I don't know why what adjustment they made, but they did a nice job, obviously. I just think this is an overall thing that's happening right now in the NFL anyway.
But even
look at the numbers, look at the way defenses are playing, and I think teams are just, the Bills are going to be, we knew this, they said this, hey, too high shell, you can't go over the top. And yeah, sure. I'll give to you that maybe Joe Brady wants to be able to do this. Hey, I'll also tell you this. If you listen to the pregame interview with Brandon Bean with Chris Brown, I thought it was really interesting that Chris said to him, like, he asked him, like, for a position or a player or something like that that's kind of, like, stepped up or been a sleeper. And he's like, you know, they're not going to point out anybody. But you know what Brandon Bean said? He goes, you know, I really like our running back room, and I think this is the best group we've had since I've been here. And I noted that. And I said, that's really interesting to me that the Bills feel like they have a group that they can, you know, lean on a little bit here. So it's not surprising in that regard either to me.
Yeah, I think they're more willing to go three deep at running back. And last year, that's Latavius Murray after Damian Harris gets hurt. Mm. And in the past, it's been Matt Breida and
TJ Yeldon for a minute.
Right now, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The point, Sal, you make about like how the league is going this way, that's not wrong. And that's going to be something that's to be tracked. But just to push back, not even push back on the point, but the way that I will look at it is not where they are running as a percentage of pass run versus where they have been, but it's with their peers. For a long time, they were a top three, top five team in being passive. If they go to 25th, then that is a very big shift, and that cannot be chalked up to that's the direction the league is going. That would definitely be a decision that we're going to be a team that is that kind of team now.
Sure. I do think that they're going to probably want to do that a little bit more. It will prolong Josh a little bit here, both in the season and, you know, in his career. I also think they probably feel like they can run the ball a little bit. There's no doubt. So
I think they're right about that.
But if that's what's going to be successful, I'm okay with it. Right. I mean, I guess to me, it would be a concern if they're doing this, but they also, because they're struggling when they need to pass the ball, they can't pass the ball either.
Brian in Arcade on this point. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, because that was like the consensus from Mike Shope as well, and definitely the morning show. We talked about like the proclivity to run, and are we becoming too run heavy? And I guess that would be my question back to you guys. Like, what do you want it to look like? I mean, we were going back to the Dable, four wide, empty backfield, and gun all day. To me, you could have that offense, but the Bills don't invest that way. They don't invest in wide receiver like that's what they want. I mean, up until last year, Gabe Davis was the highest drafted wide receiver that Bean had ever taken. And you had rotated in a cast. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders out of retirement, Jamison Crowder, low-end free agent. All we heard about was Deontay Harding. Look at all the things they're going to do with him. No, he ended up being a veteran kind of scrub receiver that they phased out of the offense. The investment isn't there to run those kind of things because you don't have skill sets. Like a player that I'd like, I mean, what would it take for Bean to get Jalin Hyatt off of the Giants? That's a field stretcher that you could actually possibly use because of his skill set. He's buried over there. If you don't invest there, then to me it makes sense to give it to James Cook. He's a second-round pick from Georgia, so you get pedigree. You get his brother played in the league. You know the genetics are good. He tested well. So he's a better athlete than what you've tried to put out there at wide receiver. I think that's why you watch these playoff games and Josh has to play like a miracle man. And even then, to this, not enough.
You're saying a lot, Brian, that are more – I mean, I don't necessarily think any of it's off base. It's all off-season stuff. I'll look at this game. They averaged 10 yards a pass. You could say, without even making it a point about receivers, tight ends, backs, how you invest, formation, at the end of the day, the root of this conversation, Sal, will, for me, and I think for a lot of Bills fans, be you have an unbelievably good quarterback. And if you're running a lot and handing the ball to someone else, you're taking the ball out of his hands, which an easy answer here could just be, well, they do that until they feel like they need to break glass. Right, Joe had the numbers on this. When they got down 17-3, they all of a sudden switched a lot more.
They were pass heavy from 2:40 in the second quarter to 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. They threw 66% of the time,
and that's like, okay, now it's time to get serious. And they threw the ball a lot. But you know, for me, it's about you have one of the best quarterbacks. If you hand it off, you're often doing the opponent a favor. Now, if they are end up being a really good run team, well, then they'll be unstoppable, and we'll see how that goes. But running the ball, to me, generally ends up, well, killing the clock, keeping games close, and it might not be the best use of Josh Allen. So that's really what it's about. Again, if they keep winning games, no one's going to really complain too much. I also think the degree of difficulty is about to get a lot tougher in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So there's a lot that you said there, Brian. I don't necessarily disagree. But they have Josh Allen. And with this group, Sal, they passed the ball very effectively. He was great passing the ball yesterday.
Yeah.
Monday. Sorry.
It's gonna, look,
Sunday.
Aside from the run pass stuff here, which I think we're just kind of beaten to death over one game, to be quite honest, right? Like, I mean, I have no idea. Like, I just think 17-3, they hardly touched the ball, guys, before it was 17-3. I mean, really, they didn't have the ball much at all. And when they did, they actually moved the ball, whether it was regarding run or pass. But to your point, which I agree with Jeremy, which is even in the pass game itself, it's going to look different. They're not going to be this take, you know, strike it down the field team. They had the one shot, and he had MVS, and he missed him. Other than that, what you saw, I think, is a lot of what they've built towards, which is it's going to be a lot of short and mid-range stuff. You know, that's what they're going to do. They want to be a team to get the ball, be efficient in the pass game, get the ball to these guys, and let them make plays. And that pretty much did work. And then when you have to try and take a shot, you can. But that might be challenging considering how defenses are playing them. But also, do they have that personnel? And that's something we don't know. Their one guy that we think can be the field stretcher was the one guy they went to on a deep shot, right? That was MVS. Didn't wind up happening. I go back to the owners' meetings. Remember sitting there that day with Sean McDermott and, you know, the AFC coaches breakfast and him talking about how teams are making it very difficult on you to go over the top. You're going to have to find a get the ball to your playmakers somehow. And he even didn't want to say much that day. It was more like, well, I don't want to get into strategy, right? So I went and I talked to Brian Daboll, I talked to Sean McVay, I talked to Andy Reid, and every one of them said the same thing. They all said it's just getting really difficult to do that in the NFL. You have to find guys that can work underneath and make plays once you get them the ball.
And the Bills averaged over 7 yards after catch per catch against Arizona, which is a big number for them. I mean, they've been near the bottom of the league for most of Josh Allen's career because they're throwing down the field. So this was a little bit of getting what they were designing to get. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, did we miss anything? Should we run through anything else? Did you watch Aaron Rodgers last night?
I
feel like fears of the Jets are subsiding a bit. Granted, it's one game, just like the Bills. It's one game. But, man, if you get pressure on him, they're toast.
So a couple things on the Jets. Let's start with Rodgers. I mean, when he had time, sometimes he just threw some lasers. He's just super accurate, right? That's what he does. But he did look kind of older and immobile, right? I mean, isn't that what he's 40? He's coming off the Achilles. He really couldn't move that much. I never saw him really scramble around much out there. It's like he had to get rid of the ball. And when he did, there were a few times where he threw great passes. Garrett Wilson is terrific, obviously. But it wasn't sustainable to do that. I thought I'd see more from Breece Hall. I think at the end of the day, he might have had a decent yardage. I have to go back and look, but they didn't really do much. I think their offensive line is kind of, you know, shaky. It's average at best. But guys, the biggest thing for me with the Jets was their D-line got pushed around after the first quarter. The first quarter, they did a nice job. Williams was disrupting plays. After that, it's like every time you looked up, the Niners were moving the line of scrimmage down 2 to 3 yards, which was allowing Jordan Mason to have the day that he had and the night that he had. So, I look at the Jets. That was a tough game for them. But look at their schedule coming up. If you're a Jets fan, like if you're doing radio today in New York and our sister station WFAN, you're obviously concerned. There's no doubt. You're also going, they next have Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota, a real good opportunity for them to right the ship.
Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
More calls when we get back. Got a bunch on Joe Brady and game plan and identity as we, you know, start to find out what this Bills offense is. One game in. We do have 8 games from last year, but again, that wasn't exactly his full offense. So we'll see. More than 8 games, right? Or was it 8 total? 2 playoff games. I want to add those
week
in, of
11
course.
On, yeah, like 8 games. Right. 9 games.
Jeremy and Joe, more of your phone calls, 803-0550. And when we get back, I've got something on Colorado football. Just a very quick mention before the calls. You know, Coach Prime, there is a thing that he made a rule in Colorado Stadium as part of like the game presentation, it's almost impossible to defend. I think it's absolutely it's bonkers. Bonkers.
Interesting. Next. Something in the stadium?
In the stadium that happens, yeah.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.